Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and we are here tonight for our very first business call. As you recall, one of your bonuses for the program was 6 months of business calls, meaning instead of us tonight talking about nitty-gritties of biochemistry and all the little inner workings of the various body parts, instead, we're going to talk about your business at a higher level. So we'll get into the nitty-gritties and the inner workings of your business, but on a very different level. So let's begin. What I chose for our very first call was really kind of the let's start at the very beginning. And I know that some of you already have established practices and you're looking at enhancing them and growing them. And others of you are just starting out. So this may seem like, well, I've already done this. I don't need to know about this part. But listen up and listen tight, because what I'm going to share with you tonight is something that everyone needs to start with, whether or not you have an existing business or not, unless, of course, you have the practice of your dreams and you're overflowing and you don't need any more traffic coming your way and you got it all together, which for most of us, that never happens. We're always on that path of how do we make it a little bit better and a little bit better. So the topic is choosing your target audience and designing the practice of your dreams. So what do I mean by that? Well, by choosing your target audience, when I used to hear that phrase, it would just freak me out. It'd be like, what do you mean choosing my target audience? I can help anybody. I can help whoever comes along. I have the skill set, I have the knowledge base, and I love to work with everybody. So why do I have to choose my target audience? What does that mean? We're going to get into that, and we're going to get into why that is important. And then designing the practice of your dreams is, how do you want it to run? How do you want your practice to look? Is it a home-based business? Is it an office-based business? What exactly is that practice? The one that floats your boat, what really gives you joy, not what you think you should be doing. Like for me, being in a corporate setting in an office where I have to get dressed up every day and look professional and wear makeup doesn't float my boat. Don't want to do that. Been there, done that when I was in the corporate world. And I did that for a while, sort of, in my own office. And it's a little different in your own office because you can choose the dress code. But as the practitioner, you do need to dress up and you do need to do your hair and do the makeup. And you can't work in your pajamas. Now I prefer to work in not exactly my pajamas, but my yoga pants and my t-shirts, or my workout clothes. And in the summertime, with a bathing suit on so I can take a swim whenever I feel like it. And you can do that. You don't have to follow a mold. You don't have to do it the way someone else taught you. You have to do it, or how they said in business school or in your health coach training. You can do it your way. So let's explore how to begin with that. This slide is in mainly because it's always in my presentations, but really we're not talking about health advice tonight, so we can skip the disclaimer. So let's talk about creating your dream business. What does that look like? What is that? And you'll see it's a blank slide. Why is it a blank slide? Because you have a blank slate. You have the ability to create it however you want to create it. Don't want to get dressed in the morning? Work at home. Don't want to see people one-on-one and deal with hearing their problems? Great, work in groups. Teach classes. However it is you want to do it, we're going to give you some tools tonight to help you to create your dream business. So what I recommend that you do is that you'll get the copies of all these slides and is that you take this one out and just start dreaming on it. Or just right now, take a blank piece of paper and just jot down ideas. Because as I share with you some of the possibilities, some things may click. So jot notes down and then come back here and really fill it in and flush it out. Will this ever be completed? Nope, afraid not. Nope, won't. It's just going to be something you'll always work on. I feel like I redesign my business and my life every year or two, because something else comes up and you go, whoa, I really love that. Or I really love working with those sorts of people. Or I really, really, really want to do more with whatever, live events or online programs. And it evolves, and it has evolved over the years, and it can for you too. So we're going to help you, to give you some tools tonight to create your dream business. Now, this is not over at the end of our hour together. And these calls are about an hour long. This is the beginning. So I'm going to give you homework at the end for you to go back and really work on this and flush it out. And then I encourage you to use the forum to go out there and publish. Stake a claim. Put a stake in the ground. It doesn't mean we're going to hold you to that for the rest of your life. It's not like when you get a corporate job with the golden handcuffs and they pay you so much money and you hate what you're doing, but you stick with it just because. How else are you going to make that kind of money? No, you don't have to do this forever. Just let's see what it's going to look like. At least have a starting point for yourself. And then as you evolve and as you work with more and more people, you're going to have more of an idea of who you love to work with and who you'd just rather leave on the street, because they are demanding or they're not willing to do the work or whatever. And you got to be working with people you care about. And you'll see as we go through that that's one of the criteria. So let's look at creating your dream business. Right in the middle is your dream business. And these are some of the questions around the edge that you're going to have to answer. So very top, I wrote in the problem or problems you solve. And I'd encourage you, if you can, to narrow it down to at least one problem so that you can have a statement that says, I solve, I help people with. We'll give you a list of some possibilities with health practices, but those are the things like, well, I help people with fatigue. I help people with migraine headaches. I help people with digestive imbalance. I help people with menopausal symptoms. I help parents of picky, finicky eater children. I help parents with teenagers with ADD. I help parents with children who are going through horrific puberty. Wherever it is, what do you love to do? You may not have a real clear idea of that right now, but maybe you do. And maybe it's something that drove you to get into the health practice in the first place. Maybe it's a problem that someone helped you with and now you want to help others with. But if you're still at the point of, I solve all problems, I help everyone, I'm going to help you to come down off that. And I will tell you from personal experience, I fought that for a long time. And I still fight it. I still fight it because I get bored if I just work with the same thing over and over again. But what I've chosen to work with is people with energy problems, people who don't have enough energy to do all the things in their life that they really, really want to be doing. Instead, they're exhausted. And what that translates mostly into is adrenal fatigue and hormone imbalance. And that's what people come to me, thyroid problems, autoimmune. That's all an umbrella. But what people see and what they say the most is, oh, I just don't have enough energy. I just wish I had enough energy to make it through the day. Or my adrenals are burned out. My naturopath told me that. Or I have a thyroid problem and I just have no energy. Okay. What is it for you? What is it for you? I know I've talked to a couple of you and you've stated that. I know one person who works with primarily people with cancer because that's where she came from. And somebody else who loves to work with women who want to have a fit and trim and healthy menopause. And others that work with adrenal fatigue. And others that love to work with children and work with parents to help them to be able to create healthy meals for their children or help their children with ADD. So the problem you solve, that's the first one. And if we travel around over to the right, the audience you help. Now, that's another one. It's hard to narrow down. Like, well, everybody has fatigue problems. So, you know, I work with anybody that's tired. I can help them. Sure. You know, and I do. I have clients that are 12 years old. I've had clients as young as 3 years old. And I've had them all the way up into their 80s. Okay. I think my oldest one so far has been like 86. But that doesn't mean that that's what I'm going after. I will help anybody that seeks my help unless I really feel like it's not a match. But when you hone in on the who and the what, you attract more of a targeted clientele. You attract people who really want what you have to offer. And also, you start to speak their language. If you're trying to reach this large range of ages, like anybody from 3 to 93, or males, females, athletes, couch potatoes, children, adults, when you speak the language, when you describe what you do, it kind of falls short because it's just so But if you are a woman who's experiencing uncomfortable menopause and your husband is just like at wit's end and ready to leave you as a result, and you speak to somebody who says, well, I work with women who are going through menopause and their symptoms are so horrific that their loved ones are running away and want to hide. And I help them to restore their sanity and increase the vitality in their body so that they're happy, their sex drive comes back, and their relationships flourish. Who do you think is going to gravitate there? Will she gravitate towards you? Or somebody says, oh, I'm a health coach, and I help people that have problems with energy and menopause and hormones and digestion. Which one is going to feel most like, whoa, she knows me. She gets me. She's going to be able to help me. And I want it to not be like the specialization trend in medicine, you know, the gastroenterologist and the neurologist, and everybody has their own piece. Because really, as holistic health practitioners, we look at the whole person. Regardless of whether the person is dealing with menopause symptoms or a stubbed toe that keeps getting infected, we're still going to look at the whole person. What's the immune system like? How's the digestion? How's absorption? Is their thyroid working properly? Are they burned out in their adrenals? We look at all those pieces. We look at all those pieces, and we'll get to where that all falls in a minute. But when we describe it, when we write a flyer and send it around town, we want that flyer to reflect who we really most want to attract. Do we want to attract poor people who have absolutely no disposable income and are struggling to put together a diet program to suit their budget? Well, you might want to help those people, and you can offer free classes and you can offer community events for those people, but those people aren't going to pay your rent. They may be people that need your help, but they can't pay you to get that help. So as much as none of us likes to think of us in a mercenary way, because we're all here because we're altruistic, we love to help people, we care, we still have to realistically think, how do we create what we love into a business so that we have the income flowing from those who can afford it, so that we can also help those who can't? So the problem you solve, the audience you help, and then what's your results system? How do you do it? We're looking at going with people and looking at the big picture, looking at their digestion, looking at their adrenal function, looking at their various habits, identifying the habits that are disrupting them, and helping them, knowing what tests to run. So you have a specific set or system, and I'm teaching you my system. I'm teaching you the way I do it. You may reflect back and use a similar system, but likely you already have some of your own ideas. And because of your particular problems and target audience and the way you like to work, you're going to look at it in a slightly different way. And that's called the signature system. And we're not going to talk about that tonight, other than to just mention that it exists. And we will have a talk on that and how to put together your signature system, your step-by-step system, so that when you describe to people what you do and how you do it, it's really clear and it's really like, oh yeah, I can do that. I want to do that. The next piece at the bottom is your delivery system. And that's basically, how do you package your services? Are you working one-on-one with people in an office setting? Are you working one-on-one in a home setting? Are you going into their home, and are you going in their kitchen with them and taking them through how to set up their kitchen and how to create amazing food? Right? Are you somebody who works with athletes, and are you going out to the track with them? Or are you going to the gym with them to help them with their workouts and then talk to them about the nutrition that accompanies those workouts? Are you creating online classes like you've been in quite a number of mine, where you teach a group of people and you take a group of people through your signature system? And then you can also incorporate that with the one-on-one, which is what I do. I incorporate groups where I can reach a lot of people, and then I take a small number of people one-on-one. So what's your delivery system? And that's what really needs to suit your lifestyle. What do you want the most? If you're a fitness professional, you may not want to work in a corporate environment where you have to put on a three-piece suit. But you may want to work at a gym, or you may want to work in a health center, or you may want to go to people's homes or have them come to yours. The next piece is your client attraction methods. How are you attracting them? How are you getting them in there? Are you doing mostly an online business and using online marketing, and a website and email? And we'll have a business call on how to do that and how to set up blogs and how to attract attention. Because even if that's not your primary means, in today's world, you need to be aware of that. And that needs to be at least part of your client attraction method. How do you get them in there? Are you putting flyers around town in all the health food stores or in the gyms? Are you sending out mailing? Are you approaching people who have radio shows? Are you starting your own blog talk radio show? How are you attracting those clients in? Again, we'll have another whole business section on this. And then finally, your client enrollment system. Now, once you've attracted them, how do you get them in? How do you get them to say yes? And we'll have another whole section on that. And I have a mentor who's brilliant at that, who I'm going to ask for some help and some resources to guide you on that particular piece as well. Because once you decide, well, what's your signature system? What's your delivery method? And how are you getting them there? And then they start to flow. You go, okay, now I have to be able to enroll them, let them know that I understand their problem and how to help them, and then enroll them into a program that involves your system. So those are the pieces of your dream business. So we're going to start laying the foundations of that by getting a handle on kind of the delivery system, how you really want to work, whether you want to work at home or in an office, etc., and then what problems you solve and the audience you solve it for. So let's begin. So how do you prefer to work? Do you prefer to work at home in your PJs? I like that. Or in my workout clothes is really more appropriate for me. Do you like to work in office? Are you comfortable having people coming into your own home? I mean, you could save a lot in rent by doing that. You just need to set up a nice space in your home that you feel comfortable getting them into. Do you going to work with a baby on your lap and consult people by Skype where they don't have to hear or see you? I mean, that's one way to do it. You can do Skype coaching. You can do phone coaching. You can do group leadership, kind of like this. And it's group or one-to-one or a combination of them. Do you prefer to lead classes? And if so, do you like those classes to be online, or do you like the energy of the class? Or is it a combination? I personally like both. I like to do the in-person stuff, but not all the time because it's a lot of work. And there's a lot of setup involved, and online is not quite so much setup involved. But I do like both. And what about corporate setting? You know, you can set up wellness programs in corporations. You can go and approach people that you know in businesses or even those you don't and go out there and say, look, you know, what I've discovered, and here's some statistics, and you present them the statistics of wellness, of absenteeism on the job and their performance, and how when people change their diets and lifestyles and get healthier, their work performance improves, and how they can save tons of money in lost wages with people who are not being productive, and how you can help them put together a corporate wellness program. I know people who do that very successfully. So let's explore your niche. I thought this at the beginning, like, why should I narrow it down? Why should I narrow it down? And for the reasons I just explained to you, it made sense to me after many business coaches drilled it into my head. It is expansive rather than limiting. And at first you think it's limiting to just say, well, I work with women in business, or I work with, you know, teenagers with ADD or whatever. But really it's not. It's actually very expansive. You start to attract more of those people because they feel heard And you also get people who come and go, oh, I know you work with women in business, but I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I have these problems, and my friend Mary had so much success with you. Can you help me? Please, will you help me? And you go, oh, okay. Right? You don't have to turn people away unless you choose to. Having the niche actually gives you more of an opportunity to turn away the people you don't want to work with without hurting their feelings, without saying, you know what, I just don't think you have what it takes, or you're a pain in the ass and I don't want to work with you. It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm really focusing this practice on this sort of people. And, you know, I have a friend who I might be able to refer you to for similar help. So it's expansive rather than limiting. And you know what? What I did discover, I thought, oh, this is just the thing beginners do, and then you just do whatever you want. And I discovered that successful business people redefine and define their niches regularly. They fine-tune it. They hone it down. They expand it up. Or they take on a second niche or a third niche. So if you love working with athletes, and you also love working with stay-at-home moms, and you also love working with the elderly, pick one to start. And get really good at it. And then you can take the systems you've put in place for that, and you can just redefine some of your marketing to appeal to another niche. And now you have two lines of business going. But right at the beginning, when you're getting started, don't complicate it too much. Find those people who you love to work with the most, or you relate to the most, who you were one of them. Right? For me, I love to work with high achievers, people who just, they really love to just, they're ambitious. All of you guys are. You all joined this program even though you had so many other things going on in your life because you couldn't pass up the opportunity. You really thrive on learning and experiencing more. That's the people I love to work with. Why? Because I'm one of them, right? I wouldn't really feel all that comfortable dealing with couch potatoes and working with people who absolutely love to just lay on the couch and watch TV at night. It's hard to get them motivated to make changes. It's really hard because it's like you don't need a lot of energy to watch TV. So that's what I choose. I choose to work with people I relate to the most. You'll attract the kind of a clients you desire most. And one of the things I'm going to give you as homework, so take out a piece of paper and start writing down homework assignment number one, is you're going to describe your ideal client. This may be somebody you've already worked with who you just thought it was just so much fun to work with them and they had such great results. And I have a few of these. I've, you know, changed my ideal client over the years because I've met them. And the funny thing is, you know, if you believe in the law of attraction at all, you can understand that when you describe this, you start to attract it. So describe the person, and you can get it down to the color of their hair, how many kids they have, if they have any, how many siblings they have, how old they are, what kind of house they live in. Describe it. Just pick it out of the woods if you don't have one already. But you know, it has to be someone who has the disposable income in order to be able to pay for your services, who so values their health and the kinds of services that you can offer that they're willing to take out a loan, and I've had people do that. Take out loans. People say, oh my God, you must just work with elite and rich clients. No, I work with people who are so dedicated to getting the results and their health that they're willing to do whatever it takes. And money is not the object. They don't let the money get in the way. So you describe who that is. So that's homework assignment number one, is to describe your ideal client in as much detail as you can muster. And please take this seriously. Every single business course I have ever taken starts this way. And after a while, it got old, and then it hit. This is the reason that everyone starts here, is because it's so important. It's so valuable. And I'm going to teach you a way to actually define and describe these people you want to attract in a language that will help you when you're speaking to people and telling people what you do. So what do you do? That was a good lead-in, wasn't it? I'm sneaky and crafty here. Typically when somebody says, so what do you do? Oh, I'm a health coach. Or, oh, I'm a chiropractor. Or, I'm a massage therapist. And people go, oh, that's nice. Yeah, who cares, right? They've heard it before. They know what a massage therapist, or so they think. They know what a chiropractor is, so they think. Health coach, that may inspire, well, what's a health coach? Okay. But that's more and more these days. It's so such a common expression. When I first started using the term health coach back 25 years ago, 22 years ago, it wasn't that common. People would like, well, health coach, like what, like you help people to throw balls and get fit? What is it you do? So, but that you describe that, yeah, it doesn't really turn people on. Instead, what if you started with, I help, fill in the blank. So that might be business women who are struggling with having enough energy to stay alert and productive throughout the day so that they can expand their careers and flourish and be successful. And I just made that up out of thin air. So, but that's the idea. Wouldn't that be like, whoa, how do you do that if the person you're speaking to happens to be in that target audience? And if you're still in the, I haven't narrowed it down, but you kind of can look at the person and say, I help women who have a little bit of extra weight around the middle, who are struggling to get rid of those last 20 pounds. And I help them to create the programs that they need, that they can drop that weight and fit into all their skinny clothes. And people go, whoa. And you play with that. Maybe you have a couple of those that you intersperse depending on the exact nature of who you're speaking to. But that gets people's attention. I help whatever the category of people are who are struggling with whatever that problem is to whatever the solution is to the problem. But the big thing is so they can. What is it? So that they can go dancing with their husband every night. So that they could start that new career they've been thinking about for many years. Right? So that they could sleep comfortably at night, knowing that their teenager is safe and healthy. Right? I help people who are struggling with problem to solution so they can the ultimate result that they really, really want. So I'm going to encourage you. Homework assignment number 2 is slide number 6. Practice what? So what do you do? And come up with a handful of them. Just keep playing with it. Just don't worry about getting it right the first time. Just keep playing with the who, playing with the what, playing with the solution, playing with the ultimate result until you get something you feel comfortable with. Even if you're not ready to begin practice yet, come up with one that is going to knock the socks off people. Spend about an hour with this. Think about it. It's really worth the time and the investment. And if you've already done it, wonderful. So you want to be able to solve their most burning problems. And this is key, their most burning problems. Not the problems you think are the most burning problems, but what they think are. And you can talk to people and you can say, what are your most burning health problems? What are the most burning problems that keep you awake at night? What are you worried about? What is it that gets in the way of what you want the most? If you keep in mind, just keep repeating this to yourself, I am the solution to the problem that people most want solved. I am the solution to the problem that people most want solved. I tell you, when my son was about 13, 14, and he was starting to go through puberty, and he was having such a hard time, and I so wanted to help him, and I was scared for him. I was scared for his safety. I was scared for his success. I was scared for him. And if somebody had come up to me and said to me, I help parents who are struggling with teenagers going through puberty, who just are pulling their hair out because their child is depressed and upset and they don't even recognize their child anymore. And I help them to help that child to become happy and whole and safe. I would have said, how much does it cost? Sign me up. Because that was the problem that I most wanted solved right then. I saw the pain in this child's eyes. I saw it. I heard it. And I wanted to fix it. So what is it that you can help them with that keeps them up at night, that's getting in the way of what they want most? And then ask, how can you help? How can I help? What can I do? You know, it might be a parent of an ADD child who's just at wit's end because they can't get the kid to eat anything healthy. They know that the diet that they're feeding him is creating havoc in their brain, but they don't know how to get the kid to eat good stuff. They don't even know what the kid should be eating. They don't know what nutrients the child needs. They want help with this, and it is keeping them up at night. And I will tell you, if you have any interest in working with parents, it's a very rewarding place to be, because parents are more likely to spend a lot of money getting their kids fixed than they are getting themselves fixed. And you know how much money people spend on piano lessons and baseball camps and you name it. We have to change their song so that they realize they can be spending money on their kids' health, on knowing what to feed those children, on knowing how to nourish those children's brains, how to get their digestions working again. So think about what those problems are. What do you love to work with? And how can you help them with what's keeping them up at night? And I tell you, with parents, it's not hard to find that. You find problems with their kid. So another thing is, what kind of a person? And of course, we want to say, yeah, I want to help people who are happy and people who are appreciative. And, you know, there's certain characteristic personality types. But also, you want to look at the class of people. So I've given you a few examples. Who do we like to work with? I like to work with women who want to experience comfortable menopause. Athletes who want a performance edge in their sport. Moms who want to know how to make quick and tasty meals that their kids will love. Business people who want energy and mental clarity for success at work. And the list just goes on and on and on. I just pulled a few of these out of my head. So think about, who do you like to work with? If you've already been working with people, think about, who do you love the most? I personally don't like the crotchety medical folks who are doubting anything. They're kind of like, what do you mean Hashimoto's can't be cured? What do you mean leaky gut? What the heck does that mean? I don't want to work with those people. I don't want to have to convince them. I also don't want to work with people who are smokers who are just like, what do you mean there's something wrong with smoking? I don't want to save the world in that deep a way. I mean, yeah, I'd love to save those people. But those were my parents. But you know what? You can be beating your head against a brick wall if you're trying to convince them, first of all, that they have any bad habits and that their habits have anything to do with their health. So I like to work with people who are open-minded. I like to work with people who are kind of fed up with the conventional medical stuff and know that there's another solution, but just don't exactly know what that is for themselves. So you decide. Maybe you are just one of those types that just loves a challenge, and you want to work with those crotchety people who are going to question everything, and you can prove it to them. So it's up to you, but you choose. So getting back to that question you're going to fill in, start with, who are the people, right? The who. I work with people who. This is helping you to fill in that part of it, the type of person. The next would be the problem that they experience. Pain and discomfort at period time. I help women who have pain and discomfort at period time to sail through that time of the month without even realizing it's there. I help moms who have confusion about what to make for dinner. Right? That's the problem that they're experiencing. I'm confused. I don't know what to make that the kids will eat that's also healthy. A problem might be an inability to work out for as long as they desire in an athlete. Or it might be the inability to stay awake through the afternoon when they have their important business meetings because they're exhausted and they're losing their focus. So what is the problem? So you fill in that grid. Go back to that grid. It's I help the who, the people. You identify that group who are experiencing what? The problem. And what you're going to help them with is, well, first of all, if you understand the core emotions that this problem causes them to feel, are they angry? Are they frustrated? Do they feel alone? Do they feel misunderstood? Are they in pain? Do they feel undervalued? And when you understand what the feelings are, then when you speak to them, whether it's in writing, via writing a letter or a sales page on a website, or whether it be speaking to them in a conversation at your local networking meeting or at a friend's house, when you have that understanding, wow, I can hear your frustration. I know what it's like. I used to stand there in front of the stove and in front of the refrigerator and not know what to pick. I had no idea. And now, you know what? I go into the kitchen at dinner time and I'm singing a song and my kids are running in going, Mom, what's for dinner tonight? And they're all excited. And they're like, whoa, yeah, that's what I want. right? You learn to speak their language by understanding the emotions that underlie it, the emotions that cause them to feel this way, or that this symptoms cause them to experience. And what's the solution they want to experience? Oh, for that mom, calm, relaxed meal times where everybody's saying, "Ooh, mama, this is great. I love this food." You don't have to do the lectures about how it's so good for them. No, you just let them love it. Athletes who say, "Yeah, it's so great. I can go to the gym and I can work out for as long as I need to. And I feel great after I exercise." That's the solution they want. They don't want to feel exhausted and unable to complete their workouts. Calm and comfortable digestion, right? Eat food, feel good, yay. Peaceful periods. Who doesn't want that? Whoever's still in that range of your life. And harmonious menopause, right? Menopause, my periods are gone. Wow. That's what you want to help people experience. You want to get them through all those discomforts and the imbalances. So what is it? What's the solution that they want? And that's what you fill in on the next part of that line. So once you solve this problem for them, what's the result? My client quadrupled her income because she took on new consulting clients that she couldn't take on before. My client got off her medication and it's saving her $100 a month because she doesn't have to take all that medication anymore. And now she's using that $100 a month to save up to go on a vacation with her partner. They have the mental clarity that they, quit their job and start a new business. What is the outcome that they will love when they get the problem solved? And the more you speak about it, the more you speak to people about it, in verbally when you're speaking to them or when you're writing to them, when you're writing a little flyer to put up at the health club or however you're going to be marketing to them. And we'll have plenty of time to talk more about that. So, again, I just threw a few of these out here just to give you an idea. There's lots and lots more. You're in a health area. You're a health coach, health and nutrition practitioner. What are some of the areas that you could be helping with? What are some of the niches? And when we describe niche, we usually mean the target audience and the problem you solve for that audience. So the niche is not women, you know, or menopausal aged women. It's, you know, menopause women in their late 40s and early 50s who are struggling with menopause. Children who are struggling with ADD. Parents of children who are struggling with ADD, because you're more likely to be working with the parents. Women with hypothyroidism. People with cancer. And you can narrow that down. You can do young people with cancer. Elderly people with cancer. Dementia. And you can put that one out there. That's usually elderly, but sometimes it's early onset dementia. And that's another issue altogether. Women with irritable bowel syndrome. Men with prostate problems. Teachers with low energy. That's a niche in and of itself. I'm not sure if it's that lucrative a niche. And that's another thing you need to be looking at. I'll show you some questions that you can ask people. Athletes looking for the edge. Women in menopause. And I should have written down there, not just women in menopause, but women who are not comfortable with their menopause. Because women in menopause who are totally happy with it, everything's fine, are not going to seek your help. But women who are struggling with hot flashes and night sweats and all, they're going to seek your help. And you want to be able to help them. And we're giving you a lot of tools so far, and we're going to still to have a lot more tools to come on the clinical end. But now, there's some questions you need to ask. So like I said, you know, you want your niche to be big enough to be viable. So if you say men in their 50s who collect stamps and have prostate problems, is that big enough of a niche? It's probably too narrow, right? You don't want to narrow it down too much. But it needs to be big enough to be viable. Is what you're helping them to change something they are already aware needs changing? And it doesn't mean that if it's not, that you don't have, it's not something you can work with, but know that you're going to have to do some education. So truck drivers who are driving across the country eating at fast food stops may not be aware that there's a problem there that needs fixing. Right? And if you want to make them aware of it, you'd have to take on the campaign of, you know, reaching those truck drivers and educating them, and good luck. Is what you want to help them change something they really are aware needs changing. parents of children who are, say, school-age children who don't have ADD, who don't have asthma, who seem perfectly healthy, they may not be aware that there's even any reason for them to change their kids' diets or that anything needs to be looked at. Whereas if they have a child with ADD or if their child has particular health challenges, they may be aware that the diet is really important and I need to figure this out, or that there may be some natural methods for fixing this. The other thing is, how highly do they rank solving the problem? So if somebody has a hangnail, you know, are they going to be willing to spend a couple of $1,000 to get the hangnail fixed? Probably not. You know, that problem is probably a 1 or a 2 on a scale of 10, with 10 being the most severe. But if you have somebody that has round-the-clock migraine headaches, I would guess that they are highly motivated to fix that problem and at some point are willing to do whatever it takes to fix that problem, because it's no fun living that way. Are the people you're targeting used to spending money to solve the problem? And herein lies some of the issues with healthcare. And I know we can surmount these, but a lot of people are used to giving to $10 copay to the doctor. And they, you know, get whatever medication. They're not used to spending it out of their own pocket. So are the people you are targeting used to spending money to solve the problem? And more people are starting to become aware of this. I was always in awe to go to these business seminars and trying to learn how to market my business. And I feel like, you know, we have a really viable niche. I mean, just the health niche in general. We are helping people to transform their lives and to prevent disease and to stay alive and improve the quality of their life. And then I'd have people get up and talk about their coaching program. I help men to learn what to say when they're dating. And I have a $2,000 program. And I'm like, people pay $2,000 to learn what to say on a date? Whoa, more power to you. So we really need to just really value what we do. And when you're offering a program to people, don't undervalue yourself. There's people out there charging $2,000 to tell people how to date. Yeah, so, and then the last thing is, do you love them? You really have to love your patients, your clients. You really have to love them as a group and as individuals. If you really, you know, don't want to work with executives who are, you know, what you consider hoity-toity and snooty, but you're working with them because they have the money to pay you, you're going to quickly burn out. And, you know, maybe you can do that for a year or two, make a bunch of money, but you're going to be miserable doing it. So it's really important that you love the people you're serving, because you're going to be working with them and you're going to hear things from them. It's going to be hard sometimes, and you really want to love them. You want to love them enough to support them and help them get better. So your homework, going back, your homework is to, number one, decide what it is, your environment, how you want to be working. How do you prefer to work? Brainstorm it. Brainstorm how you prefer to work. Create the what do you do statement. And you do that by exploring those pieces we talked about. I help who? With what problem they're solving, they're experiencing, what solution they're looking for, and what's that ultimate, like, wow, wow, wow result that they'll get when they fix it. Okay, so those are the pieces. How do you want to work? What's your ideal? Right now, just for right now, what do you think? Well, for now, I just want to work at home in my PJs. Okay, great. Okay. Later, I think I want to add on teaching classes, or I want to invite people into my home and do little food preparation classes. Great. So whatever that is. And then what do? That struggle. What are their problems? What are their solutions? And how can you help them? Okay. And so I want to open it up for questions. Hi, Zita.
Comment is, we just have to do it, you know, and then we will find out what we want to do.
Yeah.
Through the homework.
To sit down with it and spend some time with it in thought, right? And don't do what I did, exactly, which was fight it for a long time. Just do it.
Well, I have done that already.
Good.
I but this time I'm going to do it. There is no way around it, because it, not doing it has brought me nowhere.
Yep. Good. So do you have sense of who you like to work with most?
Yes. I want to work with people or with it can be men or women that really want to change their diet and want to eat healthy and get rid of their sugar addiction.
Okay, wait. Let's go to the sugar addictions piece. The first part is too vague. It's too vague. Right. You can't write a sales letter and go, oh, yeah, I'm a person who wants to change my diet. Because really, when you say, what's my why? Right. Oh, I want to be healthy. Yeah. But why do you want to be healthy? What is it that's going to float their boat? Wow. I want to be healthy so I can go on a trip on the world around the world with my spouse. Or I want to be healthy so that I can start a new business. Or so really see. Yeah, those are the people you want to work with. We all want to work with people who really want to change their diet and want help to get healthy. But what's their real reason for that?
Well, I can talk about myself, and one of them is energy,
yes.
Focus, clarity.
And when you have energy, focus, and clarity, what does that give you?
That gives me the life that I so desire.
Okay. And what does that mean, the life you so desire?
That means that I can, like you just said, travel around the world, and I can go out and hike with other people.
Great.
And I can do the coaching business. You know, I have energy to have 4 or 5 clients a day.
Fantastic. So think about the juice. If I say to you, Zita, which gives you more like juice to just really get out there and do something? Saying, I want to be as healthy as I can be, or I want the energy to start a coaching business, go hiking and go traveling and do it all on the same day if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Right.
Yep.
So sit down with that statement. That statement is brilliant. I didn't make it up. It was handed to me by quite a number of coaches that I've had, or I may have, you know, pieced it together from various places. But it's a format that I think really helps. You know, get yourself juiced up about it. And then you'll get other people juiced up about it. And I promise you this works.
Because if you have the energy, they pick it up from you. And then I also know that if I feel that way, then I can pass it on.
Absolutely.
If I don't feel juicy and excited, I cannot even go out and talk to anybody.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it starts with the desire. From our perspective, we want to help these people. You want to generate energy. It's all about generating energy. Nobody gives you energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We generate it. We create it. We learned in one of our very first talks was about mitochondria and cellular energy. It doesn't get created out of nowhere. It gets generated from the raw materials that we put in. And a desire, a flame, a spark starts it all. So work on it. I know that you can do this, and I can't wait to hear what you come up with.
Yeah, thank you.
You're so welcome.
I have the desire to do it.
Yes. Okay, I know you will. And I know you're good. I know you've got the skill set to do it.
Thank you. I need to believe it. That's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It starts with a belief. Remember we talked about how it all starts, like we think it starts with the actions. It starts with a belief. Beliefs generate thoughts. Thoughts generate emotions. Emotions inspire you to action. You can't start with action. You hit it right on the head, Zita. You start with the belief.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing.
Thanks.
All right. So we have Maura. Maybe we will someday, but the thing is, you just have to be a couple of steps ahead of where those people are that you're working with. There are people out there who have autoimmune disease. They don't have a clue that the foods that they're eating are contributing to their autoimmune disease. They don't have a clue that their lack of exercise or their processed foods or their sitting in front of the TV all the time. And they don't have a clue that these things are connected. Or if they do have a clue, maybe they do have a clue, but they don't even know where to start. You can give them a place to start. and you can move them on. You get to a point where you go, okay, this person's beyond my capabilities. Who can I refer this person to get the next stages? You don't have to be able to take the hardest case in the world all the way to fruition. But for you to be able to know for those hardest cases, where to start, how to assess, how to get them going in the right direction, you've given them a gift. You've given them a gift. And I know that when I first started working with tough cases, it was like, it was an eye opener for me. Like, whoa, these people are coming to me after they've been to two naturopaths and a couple of acupuncturists and a holistic MD, and they still don't have their problem solved. How can I help them? And I just said, okay, I know what my system is. I systematically, this is how I look at things. I go through this, and I've shared a lot of that with you guys on the client assessment tools, right? How do you look at their history? How do you look at their exam? What do you do for lab? And you just systematically go through it, and you realize you are more thorough than most people out there. Already you are. Already you know how to be more thorough than a lot of people that have been out there in practice for many years. And you just take it through. And when you hit a roadblock, you know, you don't have to have solved all the problems 100%. But you have to know that you have a system to help them get there. And you already know you've gotten off of lupus medication. That's huge. What percentage of people with lupus do you know ever go off their medication? Do you have any idea of what the statistics are there? Very tiny fraction of a percent. Okay? It's considered a life sentence. It's considered you'll never go off of it. You'll never get out of it. Same thing with Hashimoto's and other autoimmune diseases. So you're way ahead of the game just because. So you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be a couple of steps ahead of them. You can help a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are below you in the rung. And when you run across somebody who's beyond you, you go, you know what? You've done a lot. I don't really think there's anything I can offer you, but I know somebody over here that might be able to help you. I'm trying to go back because I've had doubts and I still have doubts. Whenever I venture into something new, I have doubts, right? I'm putting on a live event. I'm scared out of my mind. Are people going to really come? Are they going to like it? I know I'm good in front of an audience. I know I have a lot to offer. And so I'm just going back on what I've done that was successful. Hey, I've done all these teleseminars with you guys. You guys have had faith in me. I've had amazing results with people with amazing conditions. Just move on. Take it into the next piece. So take something that you've been successful with and see how you can create a small success in this new realm. Like for you, I may not have the answers for everybody, but boy, I got myself off of lupus medication. I created a lifestyle that completely changed my health around and improved my health dramatically. And I can help others to do the same.
Find a niche. It's a struggle for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really don't know what to do.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Because I have to market that after. And let's say I take a digestive problem. So how do I market this? Because I am into raw food. And many people with digestive problems cannot eat raw food, so that's kind of weird, so maybe that's not a good idea.
Maybe that's not a good idea then, right? So, and you know, the whole issue with people with digestive problems don't do well with raw food. It's usually a temporary thing. And when you heal their digestion and you get them on warming foods and you can get them on more raw foods. But if that's where, so raw foods is part of your niche. Or as part of your process is raw foods, then you want to look at, well, what are the things that you see the best results with when people go on raw foods? What are the results people get when they put themselves on raw foods?
A higher energy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say many symptoms disappear, the headache, acne.
Great.
Things like that.
So what do you enjoy working with? What kind of people do you enjoy most working with?
Well, women, for sure.
Women, okay.
And that are committed to their health and they're ready to
Okay. So maybe your niche, if you love to work with people who have already been introduced to raw foods, is it usually when people you meet have already been introduced to raw foods and they're excited about it and they want to know more about how to do it? Yeah. Versus somebody who is just coming with specific problems and you introduce them to raw food?
So I don't need to pick a special health issue.
Well, maybe your niche is I work with women who are committed to who have discovered the value of a raw foods diet and are struggling to be able to put it into practice. And I help them to create the tools and the give them the resources that they need to actually take their health to the next level by incorporating more raw foods.
And market that. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and then where do you market it? Well, you look for where do people who have just recently found out about raw foods hang out? Well, they do web searches, they go to forums, they find places online. Where is that? What are they looking for? And when we get into more of like how do you set up tags and things like that to attract people to your blogs, we'll go through some of that, like some of the keyword tools that are out there where you can actually find out what people are searching on related to raw foods. And then you can start to write articles and you can put up recipes and you can use tags in blogs that are the words that people are searching for and then they find you.
Yeah, I already have a blog, but I can do better.
Yeah. So, this is it's not a it's there's a lot to it and I put a lot of work into this, but I didn't have any online presence 5 years ago. So you can create it. You can create it. And we'll share with you how to do that. Okay? Great.
Okay.
Wonderful. Super.
Thank you.
Beverly. Hey, Beverly.
Hello. Wanted to add something that I heard the other day, and it was a quote from Louise Hay, and it was Mike Elaine that asked about inspirational people, and I don't know if anybody on the call is familiar with Louise Hay, but she's 86 years old, and I saw something written down that says, I am in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And also she said, every thought we think creating our future. And she also said, you have the power to heal your life, and you need to know that. We think so often that we are helpless, but we're not. We always have the power of our minds. So claim and consciously use your power. And
Excellent.
I think, a lot of times we're always worried about, you know how many things I'm juggling, even where to start. But sometimes it's just, you gave some really great points today. It's like you don't need to take people to complete perfection and fruition of every dream that they've ever held. And I think we get caught up in worrying about, oh my God, this person has spent a lot of money, seen a lot of people, tried a lot of things, and now they're looking to us to make it all happen for them. And that's very, very intimidating, at least it is for me, because I've seen a lot of very sick people when I was in practice. And when they've been through a million doctors and they're coming to you for the answer, sometimes you just have to take a deep breath, take their hand, sit down, and see where they are and help them to realize even just a few things that they are doing to sabotage where it is they want to go and what it is they want to achieve. Sometimes the
Exactly.
things are really simple, and the people that you've taught. But I think that it's really important to just give ourselves a break and realize that sometimes, like what you said, is taking them. We're in the right place to do what we need to do. Let's just take a deep breath and say it's okay. We don't need to solve every problem they've ever had. Let's just help turn them in the right direction. If they're trying to get out the front door and they're facing your back door, sometimes it's as simple as taking them by the shoulders, slowly, gently turning them around and facing that
Exactly.
front door.
Exactly.
You just illuminated some really great points for us. I think that we all are used to
problems, and you know, I think it's hard when we're struggling with our own things and our own shortcomings, pain and whatever they may be, with me with the house or whatever it is. I mean, family issues. Making that first step and just saying, you know, it is okay. I can just start with a few things and make some small changes, and these people will see that there is a lot of value sometimes in very small changes.
Right. And what you've been being trained to do is to look for the complete picture. So you look for what's been missing. So if somebody comes into you and they start to talk to you and you right away go, oh yeah, we're going to put them on a gluten-free diet. We're going to, you know, put them on all raw foods and blah, blah, blah. And you don't listen to them. You may miss that they just went off of, you know, 90 days on raw food and they feel worse, or that they've been on a gluten-free diet for 2 years and it didn't help. So you really start by listening. Hone in your listening skills. Listen for the pieces that they may have missed. And then just get them small changes. These little things help dramatically. Dramatically. Yeah. So thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, and I think I want to add one thing. I think as a practitioner, sometimes that's the most valuable thing you can give right there. Mm-hmm. You just hit the nail on the head. Is listening to them.
Yes.
They're so used to walking into these practitioners that are overloaded. The doctor looked at their chief complaint, walked in the door with preconceived notions of what's wrong, what they need to give them, and trying to get out of that office in 5 minutes or less, and that sucks. And they haven't heard anything the patient has said.
Right.
And we can create our schedule and give our clients the time and our ear and really be there for them and listen. And that alone is huge.
It's huge. It's huge. And I will tell you, I get a lot of really challenging cases, and I have at least three of them right now who are extremely challenging, and we've made just little tiny bits of headway, and I feel like, oh my God, am I a failure? These people are eternally grateful. Why? Because I'm listening, because I'm looking, I'm working with them to pull the pieces together and find the little clues that nobody else has found. And you'll be surprised by just being there, like Beverly says, and listening. Huge. Huge. And it's such a gift. It's such a gift. So listen. Ask them lots of questions. Listen. Give them little things to do, and they will be grateful. Some of the little things, I've been surprised, even people on this program who have been around the block a few times, and some of the simple things you ask them. So how's your water intake? Well, I'm still working on that. What do you mean you're still working on that? I've known about it for a long time. It's just not all there. So just because they may know certain things, they may not be doing it. And the same thing with you and Maura, when you say, you know, I haven't solved all my health problems. You look at, okay, I haven't solved all my health problems. And am I incorporating all the things I've learned in order to do those? You know, I remember you getting on a call at one point going, oh, I'm still having trouble avoiding the ice cream. Right? I know I have an autoimmune disease, and I know that I have fatigue, and I know I need to avoid ice cream, but I still have trouble with it. So like for me, right? I have trouble with the sleep piece. We're not perfect. We all have our little pieces that we are struggling with, that we're going, I know how to do that, but I'm just not doing it. So you work with people, you meet them where they're at. You believe that you can help when you come from that the kindness in your heart, the love in your heart, and a lot of skill. And we're working on those skills. So thank you. We're going to have to wrap it up. So I just want to let you know I appreciate y'all being here. So we'll talk to you guys soon, really soon. Bye-bye now.